Had you just awoken from an extra long, grizzly bear-like hibernation, you would be forgiven for thinking that it was springtime in the UK. Daffodils blooming and buds on trees are not usually associated with the depths of winter. Like animals, plants have also adapted to a seasonal planet. But how do they do this? I went to the Cambridge Botanic Gardens to speak to plant scientist Dr. Philip Wigg.
Hi, sorry. This is Connie from the BBC.
Hello.
Connie's interested in plants that are flowering a little bit earlier.
I don't know if you've noticed, but lately it seems that the plants are, well, a little out of sync.
I can show you, because I took a picture of them on the 23rd of December. These daffodils here are coming over now.
23rd of December, did you say?
Yeah, you can see it.
That's Simon, one of the gardeners here in Cambridge. And he wouldn't usually expect to see daffodils until February. Plant scientist Professor Philip Wigg talked me through what was happening.
Plants need to know what the season is. So they measure how long the day is, and that will often help them know whether it's spring or autumn or summer or winter. They can use that information to plan their life cycle and make decisions about when they should flower. And the other thing they also use is temperature. And these unfortunate daffodils have really been relying on temperature information. So we had a really warm December. And as a result of that, these daffodils probably thought it was springtime. And so they've actually started to flower. And now we've got a very cold patch and the frost will probably kill these flowers.
Humans maybe carb load in the winter. Some animals migrate, some animals go underground or sleep. What do plants do throughout the year in response to temperature?
Plants can't move, so they're stuck in one place. So they have to be really smart about the decisions they make. And the reason for that is that when you're a growing plant or you're making flowers, those growing structures are really sensitive to extremes of temperature, so either heat or cold. So if you're a plant, you need to really fine-tune your life cycle so that you're growing and flowering at those times of year when the temperatures are not too high and not too low.
We don't usually think of plants being able to maybe feel or see, you know, light or temperature. We don't think of them as sensory organisms. So how on earth are they doing this?
Yeah, that's remarkable, isn't it? So you often look at a plant and you might think it's sort of sitting there rather passively, but actually they're constantly looking and sensing the environment, and they integrate that information to change gene expression. And that's what we do in our research laboratory. We try and understand the molecules that are controlling these responses of plants to the seasons.
Oh, wow. Can you show me a bit of what you're doing here?
Great. So we should maybe go over to the growth rooms where we can see some of the plants we use in our research to understand how plants grow.
That sounds great. Let's go.
Keen to get into the warm, we went underground to find a series of doors, each leading to a room heated at a different temperature and all filled with plants. Now be warned, all this heating can get a little noisy.
Exactly. So these are what we call the walk-in chambers. So I'll open this one here.
Oh, wow. Oh, it feels so futuristic. It's really bright in here. It's quite noisy. And it's got kind of a few rows of trolleys with lots of different plants on them. What have we got here?
So this is a room that's kept at low temperature. If you look at these plants here, they're growing quite slowly. And then these plants, by comparison, they're growing very fast. So we've tricked these plants into thinking it's actually warmer than it really is. So that just shows you that by changing a single gene in the plant, we can change what season the plant thinks it's growing in, which is quite interesting.
Plants were all the same species, but looked so different that you would never guess. Some were tiny and cress-like, others were huge and overflowing. This shows how important the plant's environment is to their growth pattern, and also that if only a couple of genes are involved, the pathway for environmental responses of this kind must be really, really specific. I had lots more questions, but all that noise isn't that great for radio, so it seemed best to continue the conversation elsewhere.
We mentioned this outside, but what we saw was all those plants blooming early due to a very warm winter. What does this mean in the long run if we have a changing environment for the plants? Can they adapt to it, or is it something that's going to cause us problems?
Well, it's very interesting. We're sort of in the middle of a huge sort of global experiment, and it's caused very large changes in the behaviour of plants. What we've already seen is with a 1 degree C change, plants are flowering earlier when it gets warmer, and the distribution of plants is moving. And what's very important also is that plants are not all responding equally. So some plants will do relatively better than other plants. And so it does seem that plants that mainly use temperature to make decisions about their life cycle, they seem to be doing better than plants that mainly use photoperiod. And you can imagine that a plant that mainly uses the day length to determine when to flower or when to start growing, that might lose out. If you have a warm spring, other plants might come up earlier and outcompete plants that are waiting for long days when actually they could have started growing earlier. So wild plants have already changed, and they're changing a lot. Then on top of that, you've got to think about what's going to happen to crops. On average, it's estimated that for every 1 degree C centigrade increase in temperature, crop yields, they go down by about 10%. So that's something we've really got to watch out for.
And I guess something that your work here will be really important for in the future if we have to adapt to these changing climates.
Well, it's certainly a very interesting time to be doing this sort of research. And our lab and many labs around the world are really interested in this question of how you identify the actual genes that are enabling the plant to sense temperature. And so if we identify these genes, then that has a great opportunity to enable us to breed plants that have a better response to warm temperature stress.
That was Philip Wigg at the Cambridge Botanic Gardens. Now, how to feed a growing population in the face of climate change is a big problem, and one we'll be exploring in depth in 2 weeks' time with the future of food security, so tune in to hear more about that. You're listening to The Naked Scientists. I'm Connie Orbach, and she's Kat Arney.
This week, we're hunkering down into hibernation. We've heard how changes in sunlight cause some animals to stop eating and how plants are hypersensitive to temperature. But what can we do with all that knowledge?